from me to you. For those of you who have been here, for those of you who haven't been here, you don't have to answer this question, but you could if you wanted. Where have we been the last couple weeks in our talks? We've been here. Nice, you said that. I wasn't even thinking that. I have to transist into the junior high mind. Okay. Yes, Jason. Oh, yes, also the high school boy mind. Yes, we watched Gladiator and Lord of the Rings. Wait, what were we talking about? Robin. Becoming a 3D disciple. What does that mean? What's a 3D disciple? Okay, a person who discovers what? Discover Jesus. So initially, when you become a Christian, the whole idea is you discover Jesus. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing the message of Christ. You hear the message of Christ, you hear the gospel, that's the message of Christ, the good news about Jesus, how he's come to take, or how he came, died on the cross in our place to take away our sins and to give us life. And we've kind of been hitting those themes the last couple of weeks. And then the second part of that discovery is you don't just discover it once. You get on a path of discovery for your whole life because you want to keep discovering, right? Nobody wants to stop discovering. I mean, that's why school is so fun, right? Get to discover new things every grade. But that's why, like, you're usually excited to go to college. Like, it's this whole new process. You're done with grade school. It's like, woohoo, that was just over and over. Now college is a whole new thing. There's so much new things to discover. That's why, like, going to a new place, going overseas, going to, like, Europe, or going into Africa, or, you know, wherever, or Australia, wherever you like your destination of choice would be. It's this whole idea of discovery. It's exciting, isn't it? It's exciting to discover new things, especially things that you're just like, oh, that's awesome. So that's what we want to have. What's what we want to see and happen in our own lives. That's what it means. That first D, to discover Jesus for the first time, and then to keep on discovering him, because Jesus is like, he's a wealth of knowledge. You can never get to the point where you've said, I've discovered everything about Jesus. If you do, you're deceived. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. So, enough about that. Second D is demonstrate the life of Jesus. See, we talked about purpose last week, and the purpose of our lives, the purpose of the earth, the purpose of everything is to glorify God. I mean, he made it, we can't help but glorify God. I mean, he's God. So, but the purpose specifically for those who are followers of Jesus is to be made into the image of Christ. And I'm not sure if we hammered that point home last week, but whatever, we are now. So, what we want to do is we want to align our discovery. We've been discovering these things about Jesus, how he wants us to live and who he is, and we're getting to know him more. And then we're like, oh, okay, I can't just, it's not just good enough for me to start discovering stuff, because that's going to get old after a while I'm in this mode, I'm just going to discover, I'm never going to try to actually act it out. I mean, it's just, you just kind of, for some of us, I mean, this was me when I was a teenager. It's like, yeah, I knew all the answers, but I wasn't acting out my faith. I mean, I could tell any answer. I grew up in the church. My dad was an elder. You know, I heard the Bible stories from when I could start hearing. Sorry, spit on you. it was all this head knowledge. And I'm just like, yeah, I could answer any question about the Bible or about this or that. But it's all up here. I wasn't trying to demonstrate. I didn't know that the reason that I was... what God wanted to do in my life was to make me more like Jesus. And that was good for me. And I didn't understand that at all. And I didn't even know what that looked like. And I thought that was, well, that's kind of nuts because Jesus is perfect. How does that work? Because I'm not even close. But anyway, that was the struggle we had. We talked about that last week. So we want to demonstrate the life of Jesus. Like, if you look in the Bible, that's one of the biggest things that comes out of there, or in the New Testament specifically, that God wants us to be like Jesus. He wants us to, you know, Ephesians, it says, imitate God, therefore be imitators of God. In 1 John, it says, walk as Jesus walked. I mean, this is our goal in life, is to do these things. So we want to demonstrate the life of Jesus. We want him to live through us. Okay, thirdly is tonight, we want to duplicate Jesus' heart. This is the hardest one. Is there a phone on over there, guys? Can you turn your phone off, please? Or your... I pooed. Thank you. By the way, it's my fault. I didn't say it at the start. If you have your phone, put it on, put it off. How's that? Put it off or put it on airplane mode, so it's not ringing in your pocket. You're like, I wonder who's calling me, or you're not going like, bloop. So, all right, thank you. Okay, third D, duplicate. We want to duplicate Jesus' heart. This one's a tough one, and this has actually nothing to do with us, because we actually are unable to duplicate Jesus' heart. As hard as you try, there's no way you can duplicate Jesus' heart. This is something that the Holy Spirit does inside of you. And the Holy Spirit does it as we commit ourselves to discovering Jesus. And on this continual path, we discover Jesus. We talked about, you know, we're doing it right now. We're going to talk about Jesus in the Bible, going to church. There's just tons of ways we can keep on this path of discovery. And then when we hear this discovery, we align it in our practice and we're like, okay, I'm going to demonstrate the life of Jesus. And as we do this more and more and more, what happens is the Holy Spirit is working in us. And the Bible, we talked about it last week in your small groups, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, whatever, self-control. Like, it's all this stuff, right? Like, God is starting to work those things in you. He's starting to grow that stuff in you as you commit to discovering Jesus and commit to demonstrating his life and walk in this Spirit-filled life, it's called. I know that's confusing for terminology for some of you, but that's okay. We can't dwell there today because we got to get moving on the duplicate. So here's the deal. You can't duplicate the heart of Jesus. Jesus has to duplicate his heart in you. Your job is to get on this path of discovery, to try to demonstrate his life. And again, you can't. It's not about working about it. It's not about, like, I got to do better. It's, again, Jesus was working through us the whole time. He's the one that gives us the desire to discover him to begin with. He's the one that gives us the ability to live a holy life and to seek him and to try to demonstrate his life. Without him, it's useless. But the outcome of that is your heart starts to become like Jesus' heart. What that means is you start to care about the things that Jesus cares about. You start to see the world the way Jesus sees the world. And here's the cool thing. You start to see people the way Jesus sees people. And man, if you get into the Bible and you study Jesus and how he saw people, wow, this guy was amazing. He hung out with people that society rejected. I mean, Jesus was off the wall, like kind of the opposite of what we think a king or God would be. He was hanging out with people like prostitutes and tax collectors. He was also hanging out with the religious people. Like, he was hanging out with everybody. He loved everyone. And he had some, you know, some harsh words for the religious guys, and they didn't like that very much, and eventually he killed them. But that was all part of God's plan. It wasn't a tragedy. God had planned it out that way so that Jesus could take the penalty for our sin, which was death. Okay, so today we're going to talk about heart. So what's this deal? I want you guys to know right up front that Christianity is all about heart. It's not about the do's. It's not just about demonstrating. If you're stuck on just demonstrating, I'm going to do, I'm going to achieve this, I'm going to attain this, I'm going to be such a good person, you missed it. Because throughout the scripture, woven throughout the scripture, is just kind of like almost these underlying, or, you know, it's kind of a whisper. This is that God wants us to have a heart like him. He wants us to see the world as he sees it. He wants us to love as he loved. In fact, that was Jesus. He said, I give you a new command in the book of John. It says, a new command I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Whoa, that's a big command. Jesus, can't do it. Yeah, I know. Jesus has got to do it through us. So Christianity, it's not about rules. It's not about trying to be a good enough person. It's about your heart. God wants to change your heart. Otherwise, it's just behavior modification or behavior change. That's not what we want to do here. We don't want to talk about Jesus so that you guys change your behavior and become good people. That's not why we're here. We want God to speak to your heart. We want him to change your heart and eventually to change your heart to become more like Jesus. Isn't that cool? That this faith and this what we believe all revolves around something inside that we can't see that only God can. And that God says multiple times in the Bible that, you know, our actions and our words, it comes out of our heart. And that's why Christianity is about the heart. It's this relationship with Jesus. It's about your heart. And you can say, well, what do you mean your heart? You mean like your heart? I'm like, no, not that heart. When the Bible talks about heart, it actually talks about the center of your being. Okay, like in the Eastern, it would have been your bowels. It would have said bowels instead of heart, because that's kind of the center. But it's the center of your being. That's what when the Bible uses the word heart, that's what it's talking about. It's the center, what makes you tick. Okay, so we have a movie clip today. We're gonna cue it up in just like 1 minute here, Robin. It's from The Italian Job, and these guys have it's an old movie, so probably lots of you haven't seen it, but these guys pulled off this huge heist, and with like millions of dollars or 35 million bucks or something, whatever it was, this huge amount, and they just planned it to a T. And the clip is actually them after, and they're talking about what they want to do with the money. And here's how this fits today. Because when we talk about heart, and we talk about Christianity as being this whole, it's all about the heart, you can't talk about the heart without talking about treasure. Because Jesus says, where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. Okay, and we're actually going to read that passage a little bit later. So here's the thing. I've always struggled with treasure. Because there's treasure all around us that we can see. I mean, I live on Lake Ave, and there's treasure everywhere. I'm just like, whoa, look at that treasure. Woo, that's, wow, look at that boat. Or, man, you know, a guy opens his thing, and there's like 5 quads in there. And he only uses one, but he needs one for like every different situation in life. You know, there's treasure everywhere, right? My neighbor, since he's lived there, not even a year, has had 3 different brand new trucks. He's bought a brand new boat, brand new house. Like, seriously, I'm just like, oh, man. It's like treasure exploding everywhere, all around me, right? It's like, oh, and it's hard not to look at the treasure around us and what other people have. And, you know, the guy who pulls out what's the new iPhone, the 4S, you know, the guy who pulls out the 4S, and I'm like, oh, that one has an 8 megapixel camera. Mine only has 5. That one has, like, there's just, this doesn't matter what treasure you have. Your eyes light up at the next thing because treasure keeps changing. It never fully satisfies us. There's always this desire for more. And this clip is a really good picture of that. So, Robin, if you want to start the clip.
A toast to us.
Yay!
And I want to propose a toast to Charlie, because we just stole $35 million worth of gold without even holding a gun, because he planned this down to a T. Nobody else could have done that. Nobody. Charlie!
Charlie!
Boy!
Yeah.
Thank you.
So come on, gentlemen. Shopping list. Who's doing what? Spare no dirty details.
Come on, you guys. Take a lesson from an old man. Don't spend it. Invest.
In what?
In gold.
Let's figure out how to get out of here first, all right?
What are you getting, Rob?
I don't know. There's a lot of things. You can borrow a lot of money. Now I'm just thinking about naked girls and leather seats.
Yeah, obviously. See?
I suppose I'd get the Aston Martin Vanquish. Still a lot of girl won't do on the passenger seat, one of those things.
I'm going to get a Nanti 770 digital decoder with the 70-watt amps and Burr Brown DACs.
Yeah.
It's a big stereo. Speakers so loud they blow women's clothes off.
Now you're talking.
$35 million, you can't get more creative than that, man. I'm going to Andalusia, south of Spain, right there. Give me a big house. Give me a library full of first editions. Get room for my shoes. What about you, Steve?
I don't know. I haven't decided yet.
You haven't decided yet? Come on, man. Is it the mountain air? Just...
I liked what you said. I'll take one of each of yours.
Well, two of everything for Steve, then.
Boy.
Love the toast. You could have pulled this off with your eyes closed.
Nah. You were incredible. Just incredible. You saw the whole picture. You covered all the angles. You know, Charlie, there are two kinds of thieves in this world. The ones who steal to enrich their lives, and the ones who steal to define their lives. They'll be the latter. Makes you miss out on what's really important in this life.
What are you talking about, John? Been a good father.
Sending prisons doesn't make you a good father. I spent half my kid's life in prison. Don't get to be my age with nothing but this, Charlie. Find somebody you want to spend the rest of your life with. Then hold on to her forever.
So there's a couple things I want you guys to remember about that clip for today's talk and our small groups. First of all, two of the gods of this world are totally displayed in what these guys are talking about, and more than likely they would kind of reflect some of the things that we would want. Maybe as Christians we wouldn't say that, but you know, the one guy wants a car so he can get the girl, right? Or any girl. Okay. The other guy wants a stereo so loud that, again, girls are involved. One of the huge gods of our culture is sex. It's all over the place. Okay? It's in ads. It's in everything. It's in kids' shows. Like, it's sometimes it's really subtle. I'm not going to talk about sex today. We're actually going to be talking about relationships that honor God in the next 8 weeks. So that's our next kind of next deal, starting next week. But so I won't dwell on that. But that he's like the god of sex rules our culture. The other god is the god of money. Okay, these guys they're stealing $35 million, right? And they're trying to figure out what to do with it. Like it's just the two gods that drive these guys. Okay. Secondly, the little spiel there from the old guy. You guys remember he said there's two types of thieves. There's the one who steals to enrich his life. And there's the one who steals to define his life. And he said, don't be like the latter, because you miss out on the fine things of life. See, this is the lie of our culture. See, there's two types of Christians. There's the selfish Christian who all wants, I want to follow Jesus because I just want to get what I can get. I just want to enrich my life. Who cares about anyone else? And there's the Christian, the call in Scripture to the person who what God desires in your heart is your life is defined by Christ. And see, the world says, no, don't do that because you'll miss out on all this nice stuff that you can see. But here's the deal. The stuff in the Bible that the Bible talks about and that Jesus talks about, we can't see. That's why it's so hard when we start talking about treasure. We immediately think of the things that we can see. But here's what Jesus talks about, treasure. And you can turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6 or page 580. On your Bibles. Does everybody have Bibles? Okay, it's okay for today. We're kind of short on time. So just so you guys know, just as a habit, when you come in, grab a Bible off the table in the front and bring it with you to your seat. That way, if I forget to do it when we start, then we don't have to stop and do it. All right. Anyway, so this is Jesus speaking. We're starting in verse 19. This is what Jesus says. Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them. And where thieves break in and steal, store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves cannot break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Or, in other words, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is, the center of your being, the thing that drives you. That's where it is, wherever your treasure is. If your treasure is the things of this earth, if you've dedicated your life to getting more stuff, to getting more money, to getting guys or getting girls or being in relationships, if this is what drives you, if this is what your life is about, Jesus is saying, don't do it. That stuff doesn't last. It's temporary. And eventually, it destroys you. He talks about moths and rust. And, you know, the things of this world don't last. So he's letting us in on a secret here. The things that last aren't the things that we can see and touch and feel. Keep going. Your eye is a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is good, your whole body is filled with light. Being able to see is an awesome thing, right? But when your eye is bad, your whole body is filled with darkness. Well, just put yourself in the shoes of a blind person. Like, I don't know if you've ever done this. I've done this before inadvertently, just kind of had my eyes closed. I was outside, and it was in winter, and it was just cool, crisp air, and I'd been looking at the stars, and I just closed my eyes, and for whatever reason, God kind of brought into my mind, and I just started thinking, this is what it's like to be blind. And I'm like, I wonder if I could make it back into my house. Because the moon wasn't up, it was really dark out, and that's why I could see the stars in town. And I'm just like, no, you know what? I don't think I could probably stumble my way if I had to, but I'm just like, and I, for whatever reason, I just compelled to, I closed my eyes for a couple minutes, and it was a little disconcerting after a while. And it was like my body was filled with this darkness, and there's doubt. How can I go? Like, was the lawnmower there, or, you know, was there a brick over there, or was there a kid's bike laying there that I'd trip over? Can't see. So just put yourself in those shoes for a minute. Jesus is talking about two kinds of people, the people who can see and the people who can't see, the people who are full of light and the people who are full of darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, which is even worse if you think you can see but you're blind, how deep is that darkness? He goes on to say, no one can serve two masters. This is the whole point. Jesus is talking about treasure, sight, and masters. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. I'm not really talking about money. I don't, like Jesus mentioned, says money, but there's something much more bigger at stake here. He's talking about where your heart is and where your treasure is. And for most of us in this world, the biggest God is money. Most of us, you know, if you look across, money is the number one goal that people chase after. And I've often wondered why that middle section is in there. You know, he's talking about treasure, and then it's like he takes a intermission, talks about seeing and darkness and light, and then back into two masters and money. Okay, but it's all one idea. And what Jesus is saying, if you want to see clearly, in order to see clearly, your treasure has to be right. If your treasure is the things of this earth, if you're chasing after all this stuff, you can't see. You're filled with darkness. You think you can see. That's what he says. You think you can see. And he's like, how great is that darkness? Because you think you can see. And he says, you can't serve. You can't serve me, and you can't serve an idol, the thing you're chasing after. So really quickly, how do we know what an idol is even? Like, how do we know what our treasure is? Right? How do we know where our heart is? Because our treasure is obviously the indicator of where our heart is. So what is treasure for you? I mean, if you were sitting around with those guys and you're trying to, you're going to actually do this in your small group, what would you do with $1 million? You know, I want you to be honest. What would you do? So you can answer that later. I want you guys to be able to see that what drives you is your heart. Okay? Jesus wants to be your treasure. This is the whole point of this talk. If you want to duplicate the heart of Jesus, he has to be your treasure. If he is not your treasure, if he is not what defines your life, then you will not be able to duplicate the heart of God. Because remember what we said at the start? It's Jesus who does it. He's the one that duplicates that heart. But if he's not your treasure, let's switch these words. Let's stop saying treasure and idol. You know what an idol is? Let's go way back to Old Testament kind of time. What was an idol? Something you worship, right? Made of stone or wood or gold or silver or whatever, right? It was something that you worshiped, right? It was a god. Well, we've kind of maybe gone past that a little bit. Not many of us would go home and actually get on our knees and pray to a statue. Some of us, you know, we laugh, but there's, you know, still happens. But see, now the enemy's way of deceiving people is much more subtle, especially in our culture. He uses it with all, you know, we talked about all the treasure around me. And it's hard for me because I actually called it treasure because I feel that way. And I'm like, that's not supposed to be my treasure, but it is treasure. I'm like, ooh, new iPhone 4S. Like, oh, my iPhone's not going to get anymore. I want that one. Oh, it's really difficult. But how do you find your heart? How do you find what your idol, what you're chasing after? Well, there's a few ways to find out. I mean, have you ever said to God, you know what, God, if you just give me this, I will never ask for anything again. For some of you parents, you've heard that, actually, from your kids. Right? Well, haven't we all said that? Come on. And I've shared this before. I used to pray for the Oilers when I was a little kid. And I was like, God, if they just win the cup this year, I'll never ask for anything again. They'd win the cup. I'd be like, whoa, this really works. So the next year, oh God, help them win the cup. I'll never ask for anything again. They won again. It's like, oh, I guess I lied. Guess God doesn't care. No. But you know, it's just because at that time, you know, sport and hockey, that was what my life was dedicated. That's what defined my life. That was my treasure. So what is it that defines your life? That's the question you need to go away with today. What defines your life? Is it Jesus? I mean, for those of you who grew up in the church, you'd be like, yeah, oh yeah, it's Jesus. Is it really? How can you tell? Because that's the real question. What's the evidence? What is the evidence of the way I'm living my life? What does it point to? Does it point to Jesus as my treasure? Or does it point to these other things? Now, I got to qualify this, because the ever-present struggle we all have is that, let's say we have a meter here and Jesus is over here and other treasure is over here. We're always like, ah, Jesus. Got my eyes set on Jesus. Treasure, treasure, treasure. Oh, Jesus. Treasure, treasure, treasure. Oh, Jesus. Like, it's part of the struggle of living in this earth, being sinful people who need to repent, and yeah, it's part of the deal. But the point is that we're continually turning away from it. And yeah, we get sucked back in, but we turn away from it again. We walk towards Jesus, and we give our life, and we make sure that Jesus is defining our life. And when we find out that, oh, my heart is over here, chasing after all this stuff that's not Jesus, it's not that you can't have stuff, okay? Let's not go there. But Jesus is what defines your life. He needs to be. If you're a Christian, he defines your life. That means you need to be in his word. That means when you come to Ignite, you need to have your ears open, because it's an opportunity to discover so that it can help you demonstrate, so that God can duplicate his heart in you. So there's two types of Christians, and there's two types of people. Jesus says there's ones who are living in darkness but don't know it. They think they can see. I mean, he's talking about Christians there, because, or religious people, I should maybe say, maybe not Christians. And then there's the people who can see. And don't you want to see? Don't you want to be able to see clearly? I mean, this is why our first talk, we talked about truth. Because this is how we fight the enemy's lies, with truth. Because the Bible says the truth, it's light. The Bible talks about the Bible as light. You know, there's all this play of light and darkness throughout the whole Bible, and we want to be in the light. We don't want to be in the darkness. And especially, and think we're in the light. Because how dark is that? So in your small groups, you're gonna talk about this a little bit further. I could keep talking about this and preaching on it, whatever. But we've come to the end of our time. And so in small group, you're going to pursue this a little further. And I want you guys to think, what defines your life? This is you need to think about this. How can I tell? Where is my treasure? One last thing. It's in my notes and I forgot. But here's another way you can find out what's an idol. It's what you spend your money, energy, your desires, like everything is funneled toward this one thing. That can be identified as an idol, possibly. Possibility, right? Not necessarily, but. But here's the biggest one. If you've ever said to God, this is a deal breaker. If this happens to me, or if I don't get this, or if this, whatever, then I'm out. If you've ever said that about God, that is the number one indicator, or to God, that is the number one indicator that thing that you want is what you actually want. You don't want Jesus. You want this idol. So if you've ever said that, I know I've said that before, so there you go. But that's one of the best ways to tell. It's a deal breaker. Okay, God, if you take my kids, if one of my kids dies, if all my kids die, if my whole family passes in an accident, I'm out. If I say that, my family's my idol. That's hard. That's hard to give God your family and say, okay, God, I'm not okay with it, but you're my treasure above my family. Okay, I just want to pray for you guys, and we'll go to our small groups. Dear Jesus, we really struggle with this treasure stuff. We just, our eyes light up at the things of this world, and it's not that they're bad things. I mean, they're gifts that you've given us. The problem is these, when these gifts and these good things become God things, they destroy us. Because you're the only one that needs to be God in our hearts. You're the one that needs to define who we are and what we are and what we do and how we live our life. So Lord, I just pray you impress upon each of our hearts. First of all, what is our treasure? Is Jesus really our treasure? And if not, Lord, please show us what it is. I just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.